Beloved, the Father of Light is said to enlighten the eyes of our understanding using his servant, whom he has called to equip and build the saint. Noah's excellency of speech by power and demonstration of the Holy Spirit. Pastor Shei Osoyinbi, enjoy the Spirit.
Last week, we talked about friendship. I know I couldn't have exhausted the whole spectrum about friendship. Maybe another day, I will go over some other aspects of friendship. But please remember, I said this. Some persons asked the question that in a relationship, is it important that you marry your friend? And I did say that it is not a must that the person you will marry will start off as a friend. Hallelujah. But if the relationship is going to be sustained, that person must be your friend. Of course, you cannot have an enemy in the house. Hallelujah. Somebody used to tell me that my wife wants to kill me. And I said to him that the best person to kill you is your wife. Because if your wife does not kill you, who else will kill you? Praise the Lord. You didn't catch the joke. She should use love to kill you. Amen. Hallelujah. So, you need to be friends. And you know how friends used to, talk, share jokes. It's not Mama Debola, Batami, Mama Debola, Rice me. You understand that kind of... That is not your friend. That is your slave. Am I making sense to us? Now amen. If your parents are like that, you can't continue like that. If it worked for your parents, not in the 21st century in which we live in, will you sit down as a king on the hill and be asking or demanding your wife to serve thee? O Lord Master, thou art welcome. O Lowori mi ibare. In the days, in the 18th century, it was acceptable. But now I say unto thee, if any man does that, I promise him we should send him to prison for wife abuse. Praise the Lord. So the level of righteousness has changed. It has been upgraded. But even in being friends, you have to learn what they call respect. Tell your neighbor respect. Now, I know many of us grew up, like I said, in families that are dysfunctional. If you come from a dysfunctional family, chances are that you may carry your dysfunctionality into your own family. Yeah, you will carry it. Except you unlearn what you've seen your parents do. Praise the Lord. A person was talking to his senior brother, said it was this kind of behavior you are exhibiting that I saw in you, that I vowed that when I marry, I will never do it. And he went to the mountains to pray that God would deliver him from the way his brother was treating his wife. So you can do self-deliverance. Hallelujah. Praise God. There are some of you, I know your parents will never call you until you return home. You can't do that. Because you're coming into the kingdom should heal you of all those wrong behavioral patterns. Hallelujah. It should heal you. You must be healed. And I pray that God will heal you in the name of Jesus. And it starts with, even in the fellowship, if you don't know how to cultivate relationships and cultivate friendships, and cultivate it properly, you won't be able to handle marriage. Because when you get there, you will see the 1,002 things that is wrong with that woman or that man. Forget the fellowship brother. You come and say, oh, brother, there's your praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. The Lord just spoke to me right now. Hallelujah. Amen. Yeah, I can see the Lord. Hi, you say, man, this is the perfect of that. Now lie. That guy needs deliverance. Am I making sense to you? So don't be disappointed when you get home and find out the guy is a tiger. This Christian thing, that is why the Bible says, speak truth one to another. Don't be something here and something else there. Hallelujah. So let your yea be yea and your nay be what? Nay. Anything more than that is what? It's evil. So if you're the kind of person that says, yes, no, I was joking, I actually meant nay, that person will not make a good husband or a good wife. Am I speaking to you? Because what you have gone through or you are going through is preparatory to what you will see in the future. Of course, the Bible says, train a child in the way he should go. When he grows up or when he becomes older, he will not depart from that way. Hallelujah. So the issue therefore is, who has been teaching you? Who has been talking to you? When Adam hid himself from God, and God called him, Adam, Adam, where are you? Said, I heard your voice, and I went to hide myself because I was naked. And God said, who told you? Do you remember God saying that? That means God was saying, who preached that gospel to you? That man acted based on the gospel he heard. Hallelujah. Am I making sense to you? You are a product of the gospel you hear. Therefore, be careful how you hear, Jesus Christ said. Because if you hear wrongly, you will act wrongly. Amen. So that's a little I can say about friendship, but I'll say a little more later today. Now, what I want to talk about, and I think I've started the issue of boyfriend, girlfriend. Is that okay? Praise the Lord. And I think I'll be talking along that line later this evening. Praise God. Now, it's like the reason why I asked them to give us an example how they all came into a relationship was to show that it's not the same. Nobody has the same kind of story. But your ability, you see, they did not start off the friendship with the intention of marrying another. They get low five to class. Praise God. I'm a man of God. I speak in tongues. In fact, I speak five tongues. I speak French, I speak Latin, I speak Greek, I speak biology. Then the girl is mesmerized. Okay, that's the only boy in time. And he's the one that knows book better in the class. You won't go far. Praise the Lord. Because when Connie man die, who they bury him? Not Connie man. If you play Connie with God, God will find a way of using Connie to get you. That's why, see, I tell you, the foundation of our relationship, first and foremost, is with God. Every child of God is his property. Don't let me use the word property. They are in relationship with God. Hallelujah. And therefore, he is the one who literally gives away a child. I don't know whether I'm making sense to you. You cannot play while you're on him and you expect that you will go scot-free. There are consequences. If a child of God who is committed to God, what did you think Jesus Christ said? That don't offend any of these little ones. Then it's better they tie a mule around your neck and throw inside the ocean than for you to offend these little ones, because their angels behold the face of God. You can end up marrying her, but there are consequences. And you may not know when the consequences will come. But heaven will respond. I can guarantee you that. It's a different ballgame, however, if the child of God is told that this person you are going out with, we are not sure of his salvation, we're not sure of his relationship with God. He said, no, provided he's coming to church, he's a member of the sweeping committee. That's all. You will use your own head to carry the wahala. Am I making sense to us? So don't go out, don't start with trying to be corny. Don't do that. It will not work. And this is what I want to delve into tonight. Hallelujah. I want to talk about the will of God. Amen. I know you've been waiting for this. I've had all kinds. When we come to say the Lord, yesterday night, by this night hour, the Lord came to me. And I stood with the Lord, high and lifted up. And the Lord showed me your picture. Said, you are the one, behold her. Another one, because well, I stood on the left hand of God and I saw you. When 20 people come to you like that, you now begin to ask, who exactly is the Lord's be? That can be very, very confusing. Hallelujah. But let's go back to the beginning of things, how things began. Amen. I've not read Bible, but can I keep on talking? Do I need to read Bible? You know Bible now. In the book of Genesis, when Adam was first created, remember the story we shared together? The Bible said that God brought all the animals to Adam to be named. And Adam named them, praise God. And God found that Adam had a need. There's this unvocalized desire that God heard from the heart of Adam. As Adam was numbering the animals, naming the animals, some thoughts were passing through his mind. And God picked those thoughts. Because the Bible says they found no help that was meet. That means that was qualified, that could adequately satisfy him. None of those animals will do that. So God responded to the need and the heart yearning of Adam. Now, when God produced Eve, please pay attention. But for Adam, there was not found an help meet for him, qualified for him. And the Lord caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept, and he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And 22, and the rib which the Lord God had taken from man, made he a woman, and brought her unto the man. Now, he brought her unto the man. Please pay attention to the next verse. And Adam said, when he woke up, he said, this is now bone of my bones. How did he know? Please, are you following my thoughts? How did Adam know on waking up that what I'm beholding in front of me is bone of my bones? Did it count his ribs? And guys, when I slept, I had 20 ribs. But what should I do? Okay, this is bone of my bones. Is that what happened? No. That wasn't what happened. And flesh of my flesh. And she shall be called woman because she was taken out of me, man. Who told him? There is no scripture there that said the Holy Ghost told him. It was not the Holy Ghost. There is a faculty in man which is similar to the Urim and the Thummim. Have you heard about that in the Old Testament? What the priests use in judging the will of God. Because the faculty of judgment was faulty, God gave them the Urim and the Thummim for them to discern what the will of God is. So when it comes to the priests, they will take the Urim and the Thummim and they will discern what is the perfect will of God for that situation. And they will tell them to go and do it. Praise the Lord. But this man's capacity to judge was accurate. Remember, he had named animals that fitted with the exact representation in the in the original essence of none of you knows those words. In the beginning, before the beginning began. Hallelujah. You see, it was interesting to know that God said, let us make man in our image. He didn't say, let us make something in our image and call him man. Are you getting me? God had decided he was going to make a creature called man. But they had not agreed on what it was going to look like. So at the point they were going to make him, they agreed that don't let us make him like any animal, let us make him to look like us. Praise the Lord. I don't know whether I'm making sense, because I will come back to that point later on. Hallelujah. So they made man and they gave him a woman. He enjoyed his wife, but I said to her, why do you think Adam ate that fruit? Because we realized that Adam also found out that there was a yearning in the heart of God. God responded to his own yearning. He gave him a woman. God also was yearning for something. He needed a woman. Yeah, understand? Adam knew that God also needed a bride. God gave him a own bride, but God was yearning for his own bride. Increase, multiply, produce after your kind. But if God gets his own bride, he will produce after his own kind. Now, let me explain this. When God breathed into man the breath of life, he didn't give him Zoe life. He gave him biological life. That kind of life can be tempted. That kind of life can sin. That kind of life can die. I think I've explained that here before. It is the kind of life that makes you susceptible to death. The angelic life, which is derived from the life of man, was susceptible to temptation. Am I talking to you? That is why those kind of life need certain things for sustenance. Angels eat. Am I talking to you? What did I say they do? How do we know it? The Bible says God gave those Israelites angelic food. That means they had communion. They shared in the kind of food angels shared. And you know, what that food produced was that it affected their physical bodies. Praise the Lord. But God's kind of life does not need sustenance, because it doesn't need to eat. It is self-perpetuating. God didn't give him that. Now, if God wants to produce sons after that kind of his own life, he needs a bride. Hallelujah. I don't know whether I'm making sense to you. And for him to produce a bride, there's necessity that a last Adam must come. So when he took that fruit, he was not deceived. He knew what he was doing. I don't know whether I'm making sense to you. Every marriage, therefore, was patterned or ought to be patterned in the originality of the beginnings. That God's intention is that every marriage will show what he had originally in mind. Hallelujah. So every time you take a woman to the altar, what you are demonstrating is something futuristic. You are prophesying of a day when Christ will present his bride to his father. I don't know whether I'm making sense to you. That was why when they now asked him, they said, Moses gave us permission to divorce. He says in the original plan, it was not so. That means everyone did not anticipate that will ever happen. Am I talking to you? Because there is no provision of Jesus ever going to divorce his family. I don't know whether I'm making sense. Now, it becomes a problem, therefore, when men begin to do things after the order of human wisdom. Because it's wrong for us to think that marriage can be handled anyhow. You will be going against the original concept. In fact, that is where your whole life will begin to go out of control if you make a mistake there. Hallelujah. Give me Hebrews chapter 5. Do you understand my foundation? Are you with me on this? Are we on the same page? Because if we are not on the same page, let me know. Are you in chapter 5? Now, let's take it from 11. We were speaking about Melchizedek, of whom we have many things to say, but hard to be uttered, seeing you are dull of hearing. The word hearing means you are dull of understanding. How many of you have been in class and your lecturers were teaching you certain things, and your mind had problems of comprehending what they are saying. That means you were dull of hearing. Dull. May the Lord make you sharp. In Jesus' name. Now, you can be dull in class, but you can be sharp unto righteousness. That's why this Christianity is possible, makes it possible for those who don't know book to understand or spiritual things. Hallelujah. Now, can we go forward? Verse 12 says, For the time you ought to be teachers. Now, for you to be a teacher, your mind must have been upgraded a lot. Am I talking to you? You understand the subject matter in total. There is nothing in that story that you don't know. Hallelujah. So for the time you ought to be teachers, you still have need that one should teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and have become such as have need of milk and not of meat. There are things about God that they call meat. As of by your brain will just break down. The church, see, this past election has showed us where many churches are. Many are still taking milk, and they are church leaders, and they have the jets and the jeeps, and they see ships, and the space shuttle. They know God. They go to God every day. They know where God is. They Oman law 7 every day, but they are still babes. Hallelujah. We built ministries on milk. But the Bible says, for how long are we going to be living on milk? You ought to start chewing meat. And that's why when you find a Christian, don't do this. It's not in the Bible. You are still drinking milk. You know what meat requires? It requires maturity. Where heaven can say, I don't want you to sit down. I want you to go and kneel down there through our service. Heaven just told you that. Praise God. Now, if I tell you to do that, you say, Pastor, you are wicked. Am I talking to you? But you have matured to a point whereby you don't argue with God. You just go there and kneel down. God just told me to do that. Will you not say yes? Pastor, this person needs to go to a center. I'm just giving an example. I'm not saying she come and do that. If you do that, we carry to a center actually. So. Hallelujah. I'm only giving something very ridiculous. But you have to come to a place where when God begins to deal with you, you can handle it. When they begin to place demand on you, you can cope with it. Hallelujah. That is, we're not dealing with meat. I remember one day, I don't know whether you can understand this. What do you understand by love? And I remember I got an insight into it, and the thing almost blew my mind. And I said, do you know that it is because God loves the sinner that the Lord sends the sinner to hell? How many of you can cope with that? Can you know that? Do you know that love sends this? It is love that made God send the sinner to hellfire. Nobody can answer me now. For God so loved the sinner that he allows him to go to hell. Because God, if God brings the sinner to heaven, God will be wicked. The sinner will accuse God of wickedness. Because the mere presence of his holiness will torment the sinner more than fire will torment him. You don't understand me. The mere holiness of God's presence will torment him more than what fire will do into his body. So God just like, the devil that torment this soul more, let me just ask him to go to hell. Where will be convenient? Praise God. There was this out of body experience. I don't know. Somebody said of one man who died and was descending to hell, was a philosopher. And he shouted, God, you can't take me to hell. I'm a good person. You are not a somebody. And he made noise and rag and rake. And angels caught him while he was descending to hell, and they brought him to heaven. God said, bring him to heaven. He just entered heaven. When he entered, he said, yes, I said, I know, you are not a wicked God, you are a good God. He had not taken steps into heaven. When he ran back to hell, he said, I think I prefer hell. And he had not even come close to where God is.
So this thing is, you must know who he is.
So there are myths. The apostle that I would have loved to share with you, but you cannot handle them now because what you guys have been feeding on is milk.
Hallelujah.
And milk affects the level of your capacity to judge what is right from what is wrong. So for everyone that uses, look at the word, use milk. If you use milk in taking decisions in life, he said you are unskillful. In what? In the word of righteousness. What do you think the word of righteousness is meant to do? The word of righteousness is meant to upgrade your capacity to make the accurate judgment. I said one of the things that this election did for us in Nigeria is to expose the level of our understanding of what righteousness means. People don't know righteousness. They don't know God. Jack. They just know God and they go to church and do services, but they don't know what they call righteousness. You are unskillful in the word of righteousness. You don't know that if you take righteousness, if you've learned the skill of righteousness, that righteousness can demolish. You don't need to cast out devils. The devils will go out. Are you with me? Once you set foot at Futa Junction, all the demons in this area will leave. Because you have become skillful. Your mere appearance will send out the tsunamis. Hallelujah. It takes time to acquire such skillfulness. It says, you are not skillful in the word of righteousness because it's a babe. What is the characteristics of a babe? Don't think about a 2-year-old. Let's think about a 5-year-old child. How does a 5-year-old child take decisions? Can you give a 5-year-old child the key and say, my son, I love thee. You are the heir apparent to all this. Carry this car and take it to Futa and go and buy me bread. Any father would do that? You love your soul. You are a lover of his soul. Amen. Is there no lover in this house? No loving father. No. Okay, how many brothers here want to be a loving father? Raise up your hand now. But are you going to be a wicked father? Please take the photograph so that I can know. So when I'm going to look for sisters, I said, no, you can't marry this one. It's going to be a wicked father. Hallelujah. None of you would do that. Why? Because his mind is not properly formed. He can't, apart from the fact that his foot can't touch the pedal and all that, let's forget that, let's assume we can organize that. But his decision making cannot be trusted. Because he has not grown. Fire what? Experience. And this is why I tell people, it's easy to drive a car. Anybody can drive a car, but not everybody can safely drive a car. And I pray you will never be used as an example for bad, in Jesus' name. Many years ago, before all of you ever thought of coming to Futa, some 3 young men lost their life at that junction. Girlfriend of one of them came in from Ado to come and greet them. And she was hungry, and they said she needed to eat sardine. And they drove her out to Elisha guy to buy sardine, and they were coming back. And they got to that junction there, Santana. And that was a luxurious honor emotion. And the guy felt, I can make it. And he just moved. He didn't, the luxurious shred. Is that a word called shredded or shred? Oh, shred. I'm not. It's not that he mangled. Shred. Don't let me use the word I say. You know, metal. You eat metal, the thing will compress. No. They cut metal as if they were cutting butter, no bread. Only one person survived. That one, and there was no scratch on his body. The guy that sat at the back. The 2 boys in front, the girl that came to do party, history. They didn't even see them. They couldn't pick one, because this is his head, carry the head, carry her head. Everything was scattered all over the road because somebody made one wrong decision.
That is what he called a babe. Because he can't judge. And what will it have cost him to say, let me wait just 10 seconds? And that luxury would have gone. But say, people have killed, God killed, jumping train. Train will become, mule make it. And the train will just slice them into two quietly. He wouldn't even know he eat anything. Because people make wrong decisions. Hallelujah. Because it's what? He's a babe. We can't trust his decision. He has not grown. He has not understood the intricacies of choosing what is right from what is wrong. Let me proceed. But strong men belongs to them that are of what? Full age. Even those who by reason of what? Use. Everybody say use. How many times do you exercise your mind in making decisions? What are the parameters you use in arriving at your choices? Whether it is to sit here or to sit here or to sit there, why do you take such decisions? What are the things, what are the underlying philosophies that guide your decision making? Some of you will not sit there because this young man is very, very dark in complexion like me. Hallelujah. You like to sit close to light in complexion brothers. Hallelujah. But you may not know that that's the way you think. If you don't do an audit on your mind. Praise the Lord. Full age. Everybody say full age. But they came to full age because they used it. They used righteousness to grow their capacity to judge. Hallelujah. It says, who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Can we pause? Can we please roll back to the Garden of Eden? And the Bible said that Satan came to Eve and said, did God actually say, thou shalt not touch this tree? That was the question. He didn't say thou shalt not. He said, thou shalt not touch. She said so. He even said we should not eat it. But if we eat it, fact, we are finished. And you won't finish. He said, you will die, but not surely. The woman did not catch the play of words. Because something was wrong with her capacity to judge. Can you hear a person talk and you can discern truth? When somebody is lying, can you know a person, this guy is lying? Without evidence before you. I don't know, Pastor, you understand what I'm saying? Something we would just say, fabula, the beginning to the end, fabu. Now, if you have not grown to that place where you can discern, then these people can discern between good and evil. He said, if you eat this tree, it has the power and the capacity to make you wise. You will be able to know what is good from what is evil. Am I talking to you? Was that wrong? No, that was not wrong. God wanted them to know between good and evil. But there is a way that seemeth right to a man. Eating the tree of life will also give them that same knowledge. You don't understand. The tree of life, if they are eating it, would have given them that same capacity to know what was wrong from what was wrong, from what was right. Hallelujah. But that they chose to eat a tree based on the act of disobedience was what caused their problem. Am I making sense to you? Is it making sense? But when you undo righteousness, especially the words of righteousness, and you used it. For example, what do I mean by this? God says, thou shalt not lie. You came out of a system where lying is normal. Praise the Lord. And you take the word of God. I said, Lord, you said this, that I shouldn't lie. I want to stop lying. And you begin to pray over it. And you find yourself into a situation and there's that pressure to lie. And you remind yourself, the word of the Lord said, I shall not lie. Therefore, I will not lie. You know what you are doing? You are using. You are exercising yourself in the word of righteousness. As you continue to exercise, you begin to grow. You begin to grow.
A time will come that you don't even need to get yourself in that situation. 20 miles ahead, you know, you begin to smell evil. That I perceive evil is ahead. What do you think Paul said? He said, I perceive this journey will be fraught with disaster. What do you think he was telling? Is it God? Did the Holy Ghost tell him? No, the Holy Ghost didn't tell him. He didn't say, you know, unlike when he was talking to that woman that was possessed with demons. The Bible said, Paul being grieved in his spirit. Turn around and said, cast out, you foul spirit, come out of her. But he was not perceiving. He just said, I perceive. Something was going on. Because by reason of the exercise of his mind, he could discover between what was good from what was evil. Some may say, is it the will of God that we should travel? God won't tell you whether it's his will to travel or not. He expects you to use your common sense. But if that common sense has not been trained, you can't judge well. You will go headlong into wahala. I don't know whether I'm making sense tonight. So, am I talking to you? So, when now comes to marriage, can you take me to Romans chapter 12? So, have I talked about marriage? Hallelujah. Where is Romans? Give me Romans 12. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by what? The mercies of God. That you do what? Present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your what? Reasonable service. Verse 2. And be not conformed what? To this world. The problem many of us have is that we like to conform. I said, and you see, this issue of boyfriend, girlfriend is a sin of conformity. This secret, Pastor, I'm not proposed, but she's my friend now. She's my friend now. Pastor, get up. She's my friend now. Ah, praise God. It's my friend, Pastor. It's my friend. You know what you are doing? You are missing something in Babylon. And you want to come and enjoy it in Zion. It doesn't work that way. You can't carry it over. If you do that, you're a wicked soul. What did I say? You're a wicked man. You're a wicked woman. You can't. You see, let me tell you, praise the Lord. What do you think caused the problem of Israel? Is this desire for conformity? They said, look, we want a king like other nations that will take us out and bring us in so that we could compose. I said, I don't know why I'm there. Oh, I'm there is what killed them. Oh, I'm there is what's killing many of you. I want to dress like them. I want to talk like them. I want to find like them. If you are not careful, you will go to hell like them. Because God is not mocked. What a man sows, he will reap. God is not mocked. You can't copy them. If you do, don't you know? The pastor, don't you know the spirit that is in you? How do they put it? Turn it to jealousy. You know what they call jealousy? Why do you think he killed 24,000 people in one day because of fornication? Because, see, listen to me, every time you take a communion, you are saying that you are the body of Christ. You are the wife of God. Paul said, I want to present you to him like a chaste virgin. I have kept this one. She is a virgin. No one has touched her since the day she was born. You people don't understand what's going on here. James said, every time you act like that, you conform, you make yourself friends with the world. And once you do that, God will automatically assume a default position of your enemy. It is God that is fighting. It's not Satan. The best way to kill God's people is get God to come and kill them. The Bible says, the weapon fashioned against you shall prosper. Every tongue that rises against you in judgment, you shall condemn. I be back up. But if God rises against you, no tongue can fight him. And the best way is to get you to befriend the world. Once you do that, the case is finished. Satan will look for somebody else. Because God himself will fight. That was what happened in the story of Israel. When the Bible says they went into fornication and in one day 24,000 died. God himself killed them. You don't know how fearsome God is. I thank God for mercy and grace. But don't let us push our luck too far. You never can tell when he will just say, only for you, Otto. Hallelujah. Am I communicating this night? Say, be not conformed. I don't owe you any apologies if I don't behave like them. Oh, Pastor, don't you know today is my birthday? Oh, Pastor, just give me a hug. Who said I must hug you? The pastor of another church hugged them and so what is the meaning? I think, I just face righteousness. The pastor does not love me. They didn't send me to love you, they sent me to pastor you. Hallelujah. But they sent me to love my wife and love all the brethren, but not you. Why must I single you out? I told you, the Bible says if a man does not cane his child, he doesn't love the child. You can hug somebody to show love. You can also use cane to show love. They are all expressions of love. Amen. And if you're a bad boy, a bad girl, if I use more cane than hugging, that shows that I still love you more. Praise God. If I stop beating you, that means I don't love you. Okay, so it's a turn here. If you're a person and I don't talk to you again, I don't rebuke you, I think you should go and consider yourself and start finding a way of reconciling. One person said, so when you reported me, what do you think they can do to me? Right there, everything about her died. It just died. It didn't just died. And I just put it away. And I told whoever I needed to tell, you lower no more. You're a pastor more. Whatever cover is removed, is removed. It didn't just died in my soul. I don't know what happened. It was not that I wanted it. I love to help, but that thing just constrained me. But that's not the talk for tonight. Hallelujah. Neither let us commit fornication as some of them. Some of us will commit fornication. I spoke about flirting. No, flirting is also fornication. Fornication by style. Praise God. Abi, mi soro. The darkest church. Shey mo paro ni. I'm not going to ask anybody. It's more common with certain people. That's why pastors must shine their eye. If there's any brother in the house that is flirting, call him to order. Say, my bros, if I see you there again. No, brothers have a way of flirting. It's just the behavior of the unbelievers. You know, you can use words to caress a woman. Words caress women. Oh my, can you see you're very beautiful this morning? Ah, look at me. My God. Hallelujah. The same way of touching her is what those words will do. And you say you're not flirting. You will go to hell. You stay out of fire. I say, did you read the book of Proverbs? He said he's a madman who throws fire bans over people. And I said, No, don't do that. Praise the Lord. Okay, it was 23,000, not 24,000. I added 1,000 extra for effect. Hallelujah. Okay, take it back to, okay. And it's a surprise that in the New Testament, Paul had a lot to say about fornication than any other sin. Because Proverbs said that fornication is a sin, like every other sin, it is outside the body. But the sin of fornication is so dangerous that it destroys the soul. Do you understand what that means? I'll give an example of a man who crossed the boundaries. The Bible said of a man called Reuben. How many of you remember Reuben? The firstborn of Jacob. Now, Jacob, because of their culture, could have many women as he liked. That was their culture at that time. Are you with me? God hadn't given any instructions to anybody about those issues. So they had as many. Now, there was a young girl, pretty girl, that was bestowed to him as a wife. And Reuben liked her father's wife. It doesn't matter if they were of the same age. It's not the issue. Hallelujah. And this is where many young people get it wrong. You see, I think, please, If you have problems with ojukokoro, is there another English word for that? Insect eye. If there is insect inside your eye, go and do deliverance. Because it will ultimately destroy you. If you can't take your eyes away from other people's things, that's why I tell people, it is wrong for you to go to somebody's room and pick anything that belongs to him without permission. I don't know whether I'm making sense. If you are in the habit of just enter, I saw this shoe, I just enter and just walk away and go to Lagos. I come back, who took my shoe? Okay, I don't know if it was your shoe. I didn't know. I just. Chances are that person is going to have problems in marriage. You know what they call covetousness? It's ojukokoro. You look at somebody else's things and your soul desires it. Now, the Bible speaks about youthful lusts. All are susceptible to this to different degrees. But you have to learn control. That's why it's one of the fruit of the Spirit. Hallelujah. Peter said, add to your faith. There are things you must add. This is not revelation. You can have revelation of angels. My friend, if you don't have self-control, you are going to be destroyed. Why did God put it there? Because you've not covet your neighbor's wife or your neighbor's something. It's covetousness. Because you may be unfortunate that your neighbor's wife may be prettier than your wife. Say, Kai! Chai! I would have waited. I would have just exercised a little bit. Look at this girl. Oh God. Your soul is on the way out. So, Bani, if you don't have self-contentment, content as to content, you will go. So we find that people want to give expression to a burning and raging desire. Why did you get yourself in that position in the first place? You should not even have gotten near there. Somewhere along the line, you should know that the way I'm going to enter trouble in the next few steps. Why did you retrace it? If you find that you are unable to retrace, quickly come and confess. Pastor, what is the problem? My soul is drawing. They can deliver you. Because the Bible says, don't say God tempts you. Say it is you that caused the temptation because of wrong desires. You allow that thing to take root in your heart. So what is not your own? What is not given to you and what can never be your own? Don't set your heart on it. No matter how beautiful it is, take your eyes away. Bless God. God, thank you for giving it to him. Hallelujah. And you walk away. Satan can tell you, you can have it too. Tell him, I don't need it. Praise God. If you don't know how to say no now. But what is it? Look, listen to me. What is the difference between you and the unbeliever? All of us are susceptible to the same temptations. Hallelujah. But the difference between you and him is that there is grace available. For the grace of God, Titus chapter 2 verse 11, appeared unto all men, teaching us to do what? To say no. You can say no to temptations and walk away. Don't lie to yourself. Pastor, my great-great-grandfather, that's where it started from. That's how we all are. Look, don't destroy yourself. Don't go to hell like your great-grandfathers. Hallelujah. There is so much to say. And I've not gotten close to where I'm going. Father, have mercy. Praise the Lord. Amen. What is the one I want to talk to? 1 Corinthians 7. Let me go there. And probably let me end there. Have I talked about the will of God? I have talked about it, but you did not know. I've said so much, but you wanted me to say the will of God. This is the will of God. You can't know the will of God. Now, okay, before I go there, let me round that up. Maybe let me finish my thought along that line. The Bible says in that Romans chapter 12, it says that renewing your mind. Can't you please take him back to Romans 12:2? Let me finish that thought. And be not conformed, because that's where I stop. But be ye transformed by what? The renewing of your mind. When your mind is renewed, it says you will be what? You may be able to prove. Can you give me another translation? The word prove talks about experimentation. Hallelujah. I believe many of you have done a lot of experiments. And you know that there are some experiments, some methodologies that will not produce any results. I hope you know that. Then you will now find the right methodology of solving your problem. Now, I understand that there are different kinds of plants. There are some active ingredients you can use aqua to extract, and there are some that you can only use water to extract. Now, how do you think they came about that? It came by experimentation. They've come to prove what is the best way to extract it. Some people have made mistakes. Now, don't use marriage to make mistakes. That's not the time for you to start proving the will of God. Am I talking to you? Let us start by, Lord, should I walk to Obaila? Now, that looks very stupid. Normally, I expect you to use common sense to go to Obaila. Because if you have lectures, you don't need to preach the will of God. Is there a way for me to go to lectures this morning? I can guarantee God will not speak to you on that. He will never speak to you on that. Don't go to school. Don't worry. You will find that the will of God is to go to Elisha garage and be crying, Lagos, Lagos. You will know the will of God there. Now, I said, don't copy the behavior and the customs of this world. But let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn. Because, look, you can never know the will if you are thinking along the way the customs of the world is arranged. You've been taught a way. See, praise the Lord. You may not know it, but there's a way your mind is wired to operate. And it came by reason of the interactions with the world, with the customs of this world. Somehow, you just caked. The thing just caked, and you can't understand it, but somehow you just arrive at the point, and this is the way, this is just what I am. It came by reason of wrong thinking. Now, do you know where that place is, Pastor? Is it Isaiah 55? Yeah, 55:7. Now, he said, let the wicked man change their ways and banish the very thought of doing wrong. Let them turn to the Lord that he may have mercy on them. Yes, turn to our God, for he will forgive graciously. Next verse. He now said, my thoughts are nothing like your thoughts. What makes God God? Praise God. You see, we talk about, oh God, Father, what is life? They say it's the way. The Bible says, in him was life. And this life was the light of men. And this light shined in darkness. And darkness comprehended it. You know what they call the word? The word is his thoughts. Can I come again? I said A. You had A, Abby. But where do you think that A came from? My vocal cords. It came from my thoughts. I don't know whether I'm making sense to you. It came from where? What makes God to be God are his thoughts. KJV said, my thoughts are not your thoughts. Neither are my ways your ways. As the heavens are far above the earth, so are my ways far. But he said, let them begin to think like me. Hallelujah. When you begin to think like God, you will know the will of God. Have I given you a formula? Very simple formula. Think the thoughts of God. Think like God. Behave like God. Talk like God. No go about boasting like God. I am God and there is none like me. Don't go there. I didn't send you that one. But talk like him. If possible, throw it inside your conversation. Yesterday, I and Pastor were playing. We were throwing things at each other. We were quoting scripture. Have you not read? Oh, you have not read this. And I saw Berebere, but it was a mental exercise that we're going through. But when you meet your friends, what do you have time to talk about? Hey, have you seen the latest fashion in town? Hey, I saw it on Konga. Hey, you will never behave like God because your thoughts are wrong. Amen. It's the thoughts. So Paul said, renew your mind. It will shock you that when Paul was writing to Timothy in chapter 1, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, said, for God has just given us the spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and what? A sound mind. Why do you think you need a sound mind? Without a sound mind, you cannot operate the thoughts of God. You can't comprehend. You cannot handle it. The thing can't flow. It is those thoughts that form the Urim and the Thummim within you. So it now takes me back again to the days of Adam. How did Adam know that is woman? Because he had the thoughts of God. I thank God for the Holy Ghost. I thank God for leading. I just stood there and the Lord told me to go there. I thank God for that. But there is another level where you know. You just know. How do you know? I don't know. I just know. Because your mind has been rewired. It has been reprogrammed. And that comes with, you see, they talk about meditation. All those quiet times. They are the place where those thoughts are rewinded. They rewind it. They readjust, they recalibrate you. It's not visible to the eye. But if you are consistent, in 2-3 years down the line, by the time you stand and you are talking, men will say, this man, no God. Am I talking? Do you know that Solomon was another realm entirely? They brought a child. Two men were fighting over the child. And they said, it is my child. It's not my child. It is a child. It is my child. Every child at that level, they all look alike. Say, you guys know. You don't know. I don't know. Many of you don't know. You will know later. Praise God. That's why when you go to, when you have a baby, and they go to, when you get to the nursery, they are all the same. The one that is black in color like me will produce light in complexion child. So they have to put tag. This is Osonibi. This one is Sade. This one is Gidmi. You're not going to carry somebody else's baby and carry home. Then the great baby is not growing. It doesn't look like you. Then the woman is in trouble. Where is the father of the woman? It was the nurses that mixed it up. Those kind of things happen a lot. Praise the Lord. So the two women, and there was the king who was there. Now, the Bible doesn't say that the Holy Ghost said, that is the child. Heaven was waiting to see what Solomon will do. The heart was waiting to see what Solomon will do. And the mind of Solomon quickly came up with a solution. He said, bring me a sword and let us cut this chariot to and divide the child. What was the principle he was using? The real mother, something within her will respond. Is a principle. You keep dogs. If the mother is there and the puppy cries, the dog will come. If it's a good mother, praise God. It's in it. God put it there. How did Solomon know? I don't know, but he knew. Having not been a mother himself, that's what called wisdom. So by the time he said it, the real mother said, if that be the case, let the boy live. When the boy is old, we will see who he resembles. The other said, kill him, John, I don't mind. They said, this is the real mother. Take your child. And the whole Israel marveled that this is truly the king that is God gave Israel. Am I talking to you? Oh, God, give me wisdom. Yeah, God will give me wisdom. But you see, the Bible says wisdom does not rest in the bosom of fools. No matter how God loves to give you wisdom, if there is no understanding as a foundation, wisdom can't rest. So he said, give me please, can you please run to Proverbs 8. Let us read Proverbs 8. Oh my God, will I get to 1 Corinthians 12, 1 Corinthians 7. Hallelujah. Does not wisdom cry? And understanding the word, put forth a voice. Continue. She stands where? In the top of high places. By the way, in the places of the paths. She cries at the gates, at the entrance of the city, at the coming in at the doors. Unto you, O men, I call, and my voice is to the sons of men. O ye simple, understand wisdom, and ye fools, be of an understanding heart. Let us grow. Herefore I will speak excellent things, and the opening of my lips shall be right things. 7. For my mouth shall speak truth, and wickedness is an abomination to my lips. All the words of my mouth are in righteousness. There is nothing forward or perverse in them. 9. They are all plain to him that has what? Understanding. You want wisdom? Say, get understanding. How do we know a man has understanding? It starts with the fear of God. Have I taken you back to where we started from? If a man does not fear God, or a woman does not fear God, don't marry him. If you do, you are doing it at your own detriment. You are in Oyo. Cool. How do we know a man that fears God? The Bible says, the man that trembles at my word. Can you speak a word to a person? I say, brother Ade, the word of the Lord says, thou shalt not do this. I say, hey, shut up, don't tell me the word of the Lord. Yeah, I'm going to show him who I am. Koberolong, walk away. But when he said the word of the Lord, said, yeah. Oh, the man, you should for not say that. But if you don't quote the word of God, okay, I back down. That is a man you can know. He has a future. A man that does not respect the God's word, you quote it to him, he won't listen to you. You tell him all the from Revelation to Genesis and back to Revelation, the guy won't hear you. Walk away. Pastor, have you heard his tongue? No. He speaks like Gabriel. He who say for Pastor Sia. Sister, if they use tongue to marry you, they are your own, no? I don't know anything, no. Man, no danger, oh. God knows I've done my best tonight, oh. Hallelujah. He must tremble. And I tell the testimony I had, I'm talking to you from experience. There's so much I would have loved to share tonight, but not tonight. I had an experience, and I made up my mind I was going to exact vengeance. And God said, you can't do it. I said, I will do it. And this was a conversation between I and the Spirit of God. I knew it was the Holy Ghost, amen. So you can't do it. I said, I will do it. And nobody's going to know. I said, in any case, nobody even knows I'm a Christian. But that day, I wasn't dressed like a Christian. Some of you that dress, they dress like a Christian today, they dress like a Muslim tomorrow, they now dress like unbeliever to the third day. May the Lord deliver you. The way I was dressed, you can't know I'm a Christian. Fine tush boy. Wear jeans, wear sneakers, wear t-shirt. Nobody could know I was a Christian. So, and I'm going to do it and nobody will know. I know what the Holy Ghost said. He said, no problem, go ahead and do it. But on judgment day, we will meet. Ha. I said, show little yen. And he didn't talk again. And when he stopped talking like that, the case is finalized. Oh, I argued. Till I got home, I was arguing. No, you should understand now. This guy can't cheat me and get away now. And you're not going to even do anything for me. Let me do this thing for myself. Let me show them. They need to teach them the lesson. He didn't talk again. Oh, do me. Okay, I went to bed weeping that I cannot exact vengeance because he had already tied my hand. Can they tie your hand with the word of God? If they can't tie your hand with the word of God, you are not ready yet. Praise God. Shake it, continue. I have 5 minutes. Take me to 1 Corinthians 7, verse 1. I thought we have dealt with the will of God, have you? So it was the first time I knew the will of God. Go and upgrade your thinking. Then you know the will of God. Pastor, I prayed. I have prayed. I can't see anything. You are not going to see anything. Praise God. Now concerning the things wherefore you wrote unto me, it is good for a man not to do what? Touch a woman. Guys were touching women then. Pastor, is it good for us to be touching and be collecting and sending electric waves and electromagnetic waves? Is it so good? Some people say it's not good, but we believe there's nothing wrong in it because there's nowhere in the Bible that says we cannot touch. Hallelujah. Paul answered. He said, it is not good. It is not good to touch a woman. He didn't say it's not good to touch a girl, though. Eh? It is good for a man not to touch. Is Iboni English? They were arguing, is it good, it's not good. Is it good, it's not good. They say it is not good. Don't touch a woman. Now, it is a woman, no. He now said, nevertheless. Everybody said, nevertheless. to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife, and let every man have her own husband. Now, this writing is not to boys and girls. It's not to what? It's not to boys and girls. I said it's not good to touch a woman. No, it's not good to touch a girl. There are girls, plenty of girls here. And only a few of you are becoming women. Hallelujah. And only a few of you are men. You are still boys, but some of you are becoming men. You know yourselves. I won't mention name. Can I mention it? No. They say for popular. For, verse 2. Okay. Verse 3. Let our husband render unto the wife due benevolence. This is not where I'm going. Can you give me the place where he now said? Give me to take me to 7. Thank you, Pastor. For I will that all men were even as I am. And boys, a man marry. A face ministry. Hallelujah. But every man hath his own proper gift of God. One after this manner and the other after that. That's the gift of celibacy, which all the brothers in the house said they don't have. All right. Verse 8. I said therefore to the unmarried and widows, it is good for them if they abide even as I. Verse 9. But if they cannot contain. He's talking to brethren. These people in Corinth operated the gifts of the Spirit. Their operation was still one of the most fantastic models that we are yet to. No church has produced it. I don't know of any churches that has produced this kind of people. But the Bible said that people were burning. It says it's better to marry than to burn. You know what it is to burn? The thing we do, you giz, 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 giz. Abby, it will be as if you swallow the man, or the man should swallow you. For those who are planning to marry, the thing is already. And this is the time you are very vulnerable. You say, at least at the introduction, be careful. Marriage is honorable. The bed undefiled. Womongers and fornicators, God will judge. He says, if they cannot contain, if their body is doing giz, giz, the way it is doing, just go and quickly. That's why I said you cannot do boyfriend, girlfriend. Because if you come now, 300 level, and it is doing giz, 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 can you marry? No. Your parents will say, yes. So you will end up fornicating. Now, what glory have you brought to the name of the Lord? Nothing. You're in NYC. Did this you give gifts? Can you go and marry immediately? Do you have stove at all? Do you have what it takes to start a family? If you don't have, Ajuaya. Scale down. Step back or step aside. Until you know you have capacity, you have ability, you have capability, you have all the BTs. That's why you have the right to go and meet your sister. Sister, I love you. I'm not giving you modalities for proposing. No. Hallelujah. This is just a generic proposal. And now I'm talking to Pastor. Because if you are not ready, but can you develop suddenly? No, that chemistry just develops. We can quickly organize you to go and do marriage quietly. I didn't have to parrot too much. I can't say shake my papa. I'll put a ring. Go. But if we look at you and say you are still a boy, wala niyo. For it is better to marry than to burn. And unto the married I command, yea, not I, but the Lord, let not the wife depart from her husband. Can we continue? I hope I'll finish our time tonight. But and if she depart, let her remain unmarried or be reconciled to her husband, and let not the husband put away his wife. Can we continue? Why are you? You have moved faster than me. 12. You have jumped 12. But to the rest I speak, not the Lord. But if any brother had a wife that believes not, and she be pleased to dwell with him, let him not put her away. Verse 13. And the woman which hath an husband that believe not, and if he be pleased to dwell with her, let her not leave him. 14. He now said, for the unbelieving husband is sanctified by the wife, and the unbelieving wife is sanctified by the husband. Else where are your children? Else where were your children unclean? But now are they holy. 15. But if the unbelieving do what? Depart. Let him what? Depart. A brother or sister is not under bondage in such cases, but God had called us to what? Peace. Now, people talk a lot. I say, oh, God is divorce. That is true. God is divorce. But if a condition arises in the earth where one of the spouses walks out of the marriage, Paul said, the other person is not bound. Are you with me? The other person is not what? It's not bound. It's free. Because, you see, once a couple weds and they are joined together, the Bible says, let no man put asunder. It takes one of the parties to depart. I've seen couples, I've had couples who fight almost every day, and yet they love each other. You can't go there and say, ah, Mama De, the way they are boxing you are not winning this fight, oh. There's a good brother down the road that likes you. You have to walk out of your family. He said, no, I'm going to stay with my husband. You can't break them. Am I talking to you? Because they agreed together. A three-fold cord is not easily broken. But if one said, I'm walking away, the Bible says the other party is free to go and remarry. So that's why I said, you are people, if you don't go and say, by force, oh, my marry me, ah, me onigba, eh? Oh, look, me onigba, I'm a job parawa, eh, kodiloto, eh? He said, you are free. Go and remarry. And there are many Christians who have done that. They've walked out of their homes. But you see, it's more easier for the man to walk out and go and be enjoying his life. The woman is there suffering. I don't know why women suffer. They told me she's a pastor. That could be a pastor, my friend. But boy, until Lord Mario, go and remarry now before I'm looking at you. Praise the Lord. You send the brother, go and marry him now. People lose their, brothers lose their wives. In less than 6 months, the brother will remarry. Eh? What about you? 6 months, what about you? Only 2 months. Let the woman lose her husband. The woman will suffer for the next 30 years. Ah, I love my husband. Just born unnecessarily. Religion, killing her. The law of marriage allows you to remarry under two conditions. If either of the party walks out, you are free. Secondly, if death do your part, you are free. Don't do religion. There's a young lady who lost her husband, and every time I see her, she's still having the wedding ring. Oh, back, in fact, if you put 20 wedding rings on your hand, you are not married. Because the Lord that set up marriage said, once die, that agreement is annulled. So you can wear all the rings. It doesn't make any sense. Praise the Lord. Instead, of course, they are telling us you are married to the dead. That's a different ballgame entirely. Let me stop here tonight.
We believe you've enjoyed this message from the Fountain of the Spirit. You can get more of our messages and make more inquiries about the ministry by calling the numbers 080-372-60299 or 080-395-48289. You can also be a part of one of our many Spirit-filled meetings. School of Diocese every Tuesday 6 p.m. Governmental prayers every Thursday 6 p.m. Sunday meetings 9 a.m. Grace be with you.